The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, before we get into it, you hear that intro music right there for my single Jack Tatum. Well, I just dropped the music video for that yesterday, so you can check that out on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/KatieTrop, or you could go to my website, katietrop.net. It's up there as well. I'd appreciate it if you check it out. But let's get right into the sports. We had a huge weekend of the NBA playoffs. The first round kicked off on Saturday, and we had some good games, we had some bad games, so let's get right into it. Beginning with game one between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets, the 76ers absolutely annihilated the Nets, 121-101. It was never close. Philadelphia actually dropped 21 three-pointers on the Brooklyn Nets in game one. And so, of course, they are now up 1-0 in that series. Joel Embiid had 26 points and went 11 for 11 at the free throw line. So dude was completely reliable. But it was really all about James Harden. You don't usually hear that come playoff time. Usually playoff Harden is bye-bye. He doesn't do what he normally does in the regular season. Well, playoff Harden's actually been pretty decent for the Philadelphia 76ers, and that's beginning with this year. I mean, he was pretty decent last year, but then this year he really at least stepped up in game one. He dropped 23 points, 13 assists, and 7 of the three-pointers came from him, so he had a double-double. Him and Embiid and actually the entire 76ers team just had a really solid all-around team. And game two is actually being played right now as I record the episode. It's actually at a commercial break, so I don't know who's winning. But last I checked, the 76ers were up. The game literally just started, though. So, could change at any moment. But the 76ers are up 1-0 on Brooklyn Nets. Then the other snooze fest game on Saturday was the Boston Celtics versus the Atlanta Hawks. Boston dominated the Hawks, 112-99. They are now up 1-0 on the series. Jason Tatum had a solid game. He had 25 points, 11 rebounds, so he went for a double-double. Then also Brown, he went for a double-double as well, 29 points, 12 rebounds. The Boston Celtics just really looked like an all-around good team. You know, they've been battling through the injuries the last couple of months, but they looked damn good against the Hawks, who, yes, have been in disarray, but they did not act like they even knew there was a game being played on Saturday. So hopefully they step it up in game two, which will be on Tuesday night. Also on Saturday, we had game one of the New York Knicks versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. And what a game this was. I knew this was going to be a fantastic series. Game one starts right off out the gate. It was back and forth. Just great. And Julius Randle actually played. There was a lot of questions on whether he was going to be available for game one for sure, but really for the entire series, he did play and made a huge impact. He had a double-double, 19 points and 10 rebounds, and the Knicks got a close win, 101-97 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So right now, the Knicks have a 1-0 lead over the Cavaliers. Jalen Brunson was that dude, though, in this game. He dropped 27 points. But you can't forget about Donovan Mitchell, who also had a fantastic game. He had 38 points and 8 assists. So this Knicks-Cleveland Cavaliers series I thought was going to be good, especially if Randle played. I was upset when I heard that he was injured just because I was like, man, this would be a great series if Randle's at least available. And not only was he available, he looked pretty damn good. He made a huge impact on this game. And this Knicks-Cavaliers series, I feel like, is going to go back and forth. And it just was so much fun to watch, especially compared to those first two games, which were just complete blowouts. So now that Randle's back, healthy, I expect the series to be a good one. And right now the Knicks are up 1-0 and game two is on Tuesday. And then another great game, which looks to be a great series. Sacramento Kings versus the Golden State Warriors. Sacramento Kings took game one, 126-123. This game was crazy. It was like they were just trading threes back and forth, back and forth. It was close the whole way through from start to finish. There were a couple points in the game where the Warriors were actually kind of pulling away, but then the Kings would get right back in it. De'Aaron Fox had 38 points. Domantas Sabonis had 12 points, 16 rebounds, so he had a double-double. Steph Curry had 30 points and was making some crazy shots in the fourth quarter. Like, when you watch Steph Curry, I feel like every game the dude has one of those, like, did he really make that shot moment? And it always happens in the playoffs, it feels like. But he did. He did it again where he was just like falling away, out of bounds, just tosses it up and boom, go swishes through. It's not even like watching Steph Curry shoot a three-pointer. It's like he makes it look like it's the easiest thing to ever do. It's like he was born to shoot threes. Just can never miss them. And then Klay Thompson had a fantastic game as well. He dropped 21 points. Game two is tonight. So I expect it to be just as fun and as exciting as the first one. I mean, really, if you want to watch some good ass basketball, that was a great game. And I feel like this is just going to be a great series. And we'll see what happens tonight in game two. Then on Sunday, the Los Angeles Lakers shockingly dominated the Memphis Grizzlies 128-112. So the Lakers are up 1-0 right now on the series. I know everybody's acting like this is not shocking. To me, it is shocking because this yesterday was like actually the first like good game the Lakers had too. At first, of course, it looked like Anthony Davis got injured because he did hurt his shoulder in the second quarter, and he said you could see him mouth, I can't move my arm, and I'm like, oh God. Who figures he would get injured in game one, but he came right back out, and thank God he did because now. I've always said this since the day we got Anthony Davis, but the 2020 championship, he should have been the NBA Finals MVP. He is the reason why we won the NBA Finals that year. He made so many huge plays throughout that entire playoff run, and so a healthy Anthony Davis, he just is a huge difference maker, and in this game, he was. In the first half before he got injured, it was like, whoa, where did this Anthony Davis come from? And then he came right out in the second half, and there was no questions. He came right out. He didn't act like he was going to be out, and he stayed in the whole game. He had a double-double, 22 points, 12 rebounds. LeBron had a double-double, 21 points, 11 rebounds, and he actually just sat back in the fourth quarter, and he let two additions to this team that have been a huge difference maker in the second half of the season. Austin Reeves had a fantastic game yesterday. He dropped 23 points and was making the big plays just throughout the whole game. I mean, this guy's been huge. Just this whole second half of the season, I've just really enjoyed Reeves. He's been about the only bright spot that we've had. And yesterday was just, it was nice to see a good all-around team effort, but Reeves also being the backbone, him and Davis just having the big game. But then also Rui Hachimura dropped 29 points as well. And so the Lakers just played an all-around solid game. It didn't hurt that Ja Morant in the fourth quarter looked like he injured his wrist, and he's actually questionable for game two. So that's going to be that's probably going to be a big difference maker in this series if Ja's not able to at least be effective in this series. The Lakers should actually move on pretty easily, but we'll see how it goes. Game two is not until Wednesday, so Ja does have some time to rest that wrist up. But he's a point guard and he's a good shooter, so he's probably going to need that wrist. But who knows? But it was nice to actually see the Lakers play a very nice all-around game from start to finish. They played great defensively. They played great offensively. The bench showed up. So it was real nice. We'll see if it's a one-game thing, though, because they really didn't do that all season long. And their problem all season has been consistency. So we'll see what happens in game two, but it doesn't hurt that Ja Morant is injured, because that definitely plays into the favor of the Lakers. So then we had a shocking game, in my opinion. The Miami Heat took out the Milwaukee Bucks 130-117. Now, yes, Giannis actually injured his back very early on in this game, so he pretty much was out. He got injured in the first quarter, so he was out the rest of the game. He did not play. So it's pretty difficult to be at your best in the playoffs when your best player is out injured. So he was out. But hey, the Heat also had their own injuries to Tyler Hero, who's actually been one of their top players this entire season. He broke his hand. So, and not only was he out the whole game, but he's also out 4 to 6 weeks. So they also lost a guy too. But Middleton was just about the only guy scoring points for the Bucks. He scored 33 points. But Jimmy Butler, it's not a joke, y'all. Playoff Jimmy is a real thing. This guy, if there's ever a time Jimmy Butler is going to show up, it's playoff time. He had a double-double yesterday, 35 points, 11 assists. Also, Bam Adebayo had 22 points. So that was a big win by the Miami Heat. Like I said, it helped that Giannis was out the whole game, but still, they kicked their ass. I mean, it really wasn't close for like none of the game. I mean, really, the Heat had a pretty good lead for most of it and looked like they were just cruise controlling this whole way. And that's a big win to get in Milwaukee against the number one seed. And game two is on Wednesday night. Then we had another good game between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Phoenix Suns. Clippers got game one, 115-110. I mean, this was another back and forth game. I mean, the Clippers, I would say, had the upper hand pretty much the entire way. It was the Phoenix Suns were playing catch up for the majority of it, and then I just kind of feel like the catch up just got too much for them. But Kawhi Leonard, he had a very solid game as well. He had 38 points. Then you had Zubac, who had a double double. He had 12 points and 15 rebounds. And it really wasn't an issue for the Phoenix Suns to score points. It was really just their bench disappeared. I would say there was some poor coaching decisions towards the end of the game. I mean, Devin Booker still had his points. He dropped 26 points. Kevin Durant had a solid game. He had 27 points, 11 assists. So he had a double-double. Chris Paul, he made some big plays at some key points in the game, but it was just the Suns just were playing catch-up, and it was just one of those games where if you're playing catch-up and you just can't ever get it going, it's real difficult to beat a team, especially when Kawhi Leonard was on all night last night. He could not be stopped. He was everything was dropping for him, and really for the rest of the team. I mean, this was kind of one of those games where it was similar to the Kings Golden State Warriors game, where it was like 3-3-3. They were just like throwing up the threes, and it was all of them were going in. It was just crazy. So But the Clippers did end up getting the win, and game two of that series is going to be on Tuesday night. And then rounding out the NBA playoffs first round weekend, the Denver Nuggets versus the Minnesota Timberwolves went as expected. The Denver Nuggets just dominated the Timberwolves 109-80. I actually did not even watch a second of this game because I do get up pretty early during the week. So I fell asleep, and I did not miss a goddamn thing. So Denver is obviously up 1-0 in this series. Jokic just had yet another solid stat line, 13 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists. And then he got some help from Jamal Murray, 24 points. I did mention that somebody needs to step it up in the postseason for the Denver Nuggets to even be successful. Because, yes, we know Jokic is a fantastic player. He gets the job done. He could score the points. He gets the rebounds, the assists. But at some point, some team is going to lock him down and somebody else has to step it up. Jamal Murray was that dude last night. He's actually been that dude for the majority of the season. But we'll see what happens with the Nuggets. That was a good, solid win, and they will have game two of this series on Wednesday night. All right, so now let's get into the top 10 MLB power rankings for the week. Not a lot of changes. We do still have a couple of teams in here that I did not expect to still see, but they are just flying high. So let's get right into it, starting with number one, the Tampa Bay Rays, still at number one. Although their 13-game winning streak did end at 13, they are now on a two-game losing streak. I doubt that's going to last, though, just because this team is still damn good. They're 14-2 on the season right now. They swept Boston. But the Toronto Blue Jays were the team to actually take them out. And they got two out of the three in the series this weekend against the Rays. But, you know, the Rays, they're just knocking in the runs. They lead the league with runs, 114 runs to be exact on the season. But it's not just them offensively. Shane McClanahan, he leads the league right now with four wins. The Rays also, as a team, lead the league with the lowest ERA at a 2.54 right now. So they're just really solid. Every player is really stepping it up, and they're just clicking on all cylinders. And we'll see what this team's able to do, but I really don't expect them to have much of a fall off. As a matter of fact, I kind of feel like the rest of the American League needs to be on notice right now, because when you start the season off 13-0, that's pretty good. And when you're leading the league and you've got this, they've got a deep, deep pitching staff. I mean, unfortunately for them, their pitcher Springs, he's injured. He's on the injured list right now, but it doesn't look like it's going to be anything long term. So he's out, but he's been a huge force for them. But this team, they've deep pitch, starting pitching, deep in the bullpen. And then they've played great defensively, and they just have not had an issue scoring runs at all. So this team has got it all going on at the moment. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 12-4. Right now, they are currently on a six-game winning streak, the longest winning streak in the league currently. This past week, they swept the Cincinnati Reds and the Kansas City Royals. They are also having no issues scoring runs. Right now, they are third in the league with 87 runs. Ronald Acuña Jr. is having a hell of a year to start. He's batting a .373 with three home runs and 11 RBI. But it's not just him. This entire team is just raking it in. The starting pitching has been shaky a little bit, but they do get Max Fried back this week. So they should start to get a little bit better. I mean, I have high expectations for the Braves. So even though they started off week one a little bit okay and shaky, they seem to be back on it this week. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets, overall record of 10-6. They are currently on a four-game winning streak. This past week, they won a series against the San Diego Padres and the Oakland A's. And it's basically the picking up right where they left off last year. You know, Pete Alonso in the National League was a dude who was just leading the league in home runs for, I believe, the entire year or the majority of the year. Regardless, he picked up right where he left off. He is leading the entire league right now with 8 home runs. But then you also have their starting pitching, pretty solid. But coming out of nowhere is a Tyler McGill with 3 wins and a 2.25 ERA on the season right now. This guy is basically their best pitcher at this current point in time, and they do have Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander on their roster. And yeah, Verlander has not made an appearance for them yet. Still, that's the reigning Cy Young Award winner. You got McGill here stepping it up with 3 wins and 2.25 ERA, and this Mets starting pitching, once Verlander gets back, this is going to be a very, very deep starting pitching squad. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Milwaukee Brewers, overall record of 11-5. They lost the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks, but they won the series against the San Diego Padres. And Rowdy Tellez has had an insane week. He has just been hitting home runs out of the park like no other this week. He's got currently 5 home runs on the season. But he hit quite a few of them this week. I believe he hit 3 of them this week. And then you also have Anderson, who's just been this guy who's just come out of nowhere for the Brewers. And he's still just raking, and he's got 14 RBIs on the season. And the Brewers are just playing all around solid baseball. Starting pitching is they're not like dominating anybody. They're not blowing anybody out of the water, but they're winning, and they're doing it in just playing great baseball. Defensively, they're getting the job done. They're getting the runs when they need to, and they're just playing some really solid baseball right now. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 10-6. This past week, they won the series against the Cleveland Guardians and the Minnesota Twins. Aaron Judge has 5 home runs on the season, so the dude is still knocking them out of the park. But it's really, and then you've also got Anthony Rizzo. You know, he had a good season last year with the home runs, but his batting average was just meh. Right now, he actually leads the Yankees batting average. He's batting over, I think, 350 right now. So he's also right there with Judge, just knocking him out of the park. But it's really all about this Yankees starting pitching. I mean, Cole right now, he's tied for the league lead with 4 wins and a 0.95 ERA and 32 strikeouts on the season. So this guy, they paid him a lot of money, and he is earning that money so far this season. But it's not just him. You know, Cortez is having a good year, and it's just the Yankees look like a very solid all-around team right now, and they just continue to keep on winning. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Toronto Blue Jays, overall record of 10-6. This past week, they won a series against the Detroit Tigers and the Tampa Bay Rays. They were the ones to stop the Tampa Bay Rays' 13-game winning streak. And, I mean, the Blue Jays are just, they are another all-around team right now. Out of nowhere, Matt Chapman is just having an excellent season. He's batting a .421 right now with 3 home runs and 15 RBI. Usually, you're talking about Vlad Guerrero Jr. on this squad. No, Vlad's only got 2 home runs on the season right now. He's still having a pretty solid year, but did not expect Matt Chapman to be their top hitter at this current point in time. They also are just, their starting pitching looks really, really good right now. Kevin Gausman, he's pitching out of his mind, and the Blue Jays looking like a really solid squad right now. This American League East is freaking stacked, that's for sure. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Minnesota Twins, overall record of 10-6. This past week, they won a series against the Chicago White Sox, and they also won, split a series with the New York Yankees. And it turns out that Sonny Gray is finally coming around for them. You know, last year he had they traded for him 2 seasons ago or last year. I can't recall. I know it was recently. But last year he spent a lot of the year on the injured list. And Sonny Gray's been a pitcher on the come up. He's very, very efficient. He's very difficult to hit. He's great getting double plays as well. Hitters to ground into double play. So, but he just has never panned out since the Twins traded for him. Well, finally, this is the year that he's actually, at least in his first couple of starts, he's playing really well. He's got 2 wins on the season with a 0.53 ERA and 19 strikeouts on the season. So he's playing really well for them. The Twins, they have a lot of no-name dudes on this squad, but they're just getting the job done. I mean, just pitching really well, playing well defensively, and then getting the runs when they need to. Not sure how long it's going to last, just because this wasn't a team that I really picked to go anywhere, but hey, they look pretty solid right now. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, another American League East team, and that is the Baltimore Orioles. They're 9-7 on the season. I really did not expect to, I had them in last week's top 10. I did not expect to see from them again, but here they are. They beat the Oakland A's in a series this week, and then also took a series from the Chicago White Sox. But right now, they are 2nd in the league with 94 runs. So this team is just knocking them out of the park. You got Ryan Mountcastle with 6 home runs and 20 RBI on the season. But they just have this really young squad of really good young pitchers. They've got this shortstop whose name is, it just left my mind right now, but he's just lights out. He's batting over like a 371 right now, something like that. So right now the Orioles are just on the come up. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep it up for the entire season, but the American League East is stacked. And I believe in all 4 of the teams so far that I've mentioned, just because they all are really, they're playing really well right now. And as I said, the Orioles are 2nd in the league with 94 runs. That's a lot, just right behind the Rays. I mean, the Rays have 114, so of course they have freaking 20 more than them, but still. to be scoring that much, and none of us expected anything from the Orioles this year, but they're looking pretty solid right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Cleveland Guardians, overall record of 9-7. This past week, they lost a series to the Yankees, but won a series to the Washington Nationals. The Guardians have had a pretty decent season so far. I mean, they have had ups and downs. Some of their players have always been streaky, and they're already starting to kind of show that. So I'm not sure if I'm really sold on the Guardians quite yet. I did pick them to make the playoffs this year, just because they usually tend to put it together. Also, they do have a really solid starting pitching. And Shane Bieber, specifically, he's definitely picked it up so far this year. He's got a 2.88 ERA and 18 strikeouts on the season. It's just they haven't really been able to back him up with some runs to help get him wins. And that's always been kind of an issue with the Guardians. That's kind of what I expected from them. It was going to be kind of a struggle for them to score runs. I felt like they'd be pretty much in every game that they play, but they might lose more than they win, just because I feel like once it comes down to the small ball, or if it comes down to a really deep team that's got really powerful hitting, I think they're going to struggle. And so far that's kind of been the case, but I mean, you just really can't ever count the Guardians out, because, you know, Terry Francona is their manager, always been a good manager, and this team just, they tend to just keep it going throughout the season, and then all of a sudden there they are in the playoffs again. So there's the Guardians at number 9. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Arizona Diamondbacks. Did not expect that team to be here yet again. But the Diamondbacks right now are in first place in the National League West. Yeah, we all expected the Dodgers to own this shit, man. The Dodgers, I haven't even heard of the Dodgers except when they kicked the crap out of the Giants. But the Diamondbacks, this is a nobody, no-name team. I didn't even, when I was looking at the stats, when I'm looking at their roster, when I'm making all the notes for this show, I'm like, who is this team? What is going on with them? But they're in first place in the West. They're getting wins. They're 9-7. They took the series against the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, last week they're beating up the Dodgers. This week they're beating up the Brewers. Now, they did lose a series to the Marlins, but I mean, still, I don't know what's going on in Arizona. I expected this to be one of the worst teams in the league, and right now they're in first place in the National League West. I don't expect that to last, but I mean, ain't nobody in the West trying to step it up. And I mean, you got the Padres and the Dodgers who've got great rosters, and the Diamondbacks who have nobody Magoo at pitcher, nobody Magoo at hitter, and nobody Magoo as their manager, and yet they just keep on winning and beating really damn good teams. So they are still in the top 10 this week, and I did not expect that. So we'll see what happens with Diamondbacks as the season goes on, and really with the National League West, because at this point, anybody could take that crappy division. I mean, the last couple of seasons, the National League West has been like the top division in baseball, and now all of the teams look like crap except the Diamondbacks right now. So, although it is very early in the season, so we'll see what happens, but it's very shocking to see the Diamondbacks not only winning, not only in first place in the division, but they're doing it. They're dominating really good teams. I mean, you're beating the Brewers, who I have them at number 4 on my top 10. And then they, like I said, they kicked the crap out of the Dodgers last week. So, I don't know. Team's not doing too terrible. But that's the top 10 MLB power rankings for the week. And so enjoy this great week of basketball. Hopefully we have some just as exciting games as we did over the weekend. And yeah, just enjoy the week of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Friday.